thank you for the book, first of all. It was a pleasure to read. The book, actually I will start with a small quote. Not quite linear explorations. The wanderings in this essay moves in twists and turns, keep circling back around certain issues, pause now and then for bending, lifting and stretching, then jolt me onto yet another track. They resonate with the analyses elsewhere in this book and create an outlook, but does not seek a conclusion. Rather, they give sense of a cultural density lingering in the dorsal choreographies, which might have a longer history than we're aware of. They ask me to redirect my attention, moving on in my memory and imaginations, towards and through the back, providing bits and pieces for yet other choreographies to come. So I would like to share some things from my reading experience of the book. Through your thorough accounts, I feel like I've almost been reliving some of these moments, some of these performances. So speaking of specific works and practices, but also about the act of looking, from a perspective of an attentive, I should say, a spectator, and not only as a theoretician. So it operates in different ways. It traces histories, gives accounts of histories, histories of the theater and its functioning, histories of dance or certain works of the choreographers and artists that are being named, or their pieces or practices. So it's of a certain time, as you mentioned, namely end of 90s or very end of 90s until 2008 or so. So it's not a complete document of that time, and I suppose also not it's probably not a complete document of your own viewing or witnessing of that time, but it still traces a period of your own history as a spectator. And as you were saying, also mine, my history as a spectator. I have seen many of the works, not all, that you write about, sometimes even at the same time. I see from the footnotes. Maybe not the same evening, but at least the same space. And two of the works I was also performing. So for those, maybe that's most of you at this stage, that didn't read the book yet, I'd like to say that as a kind of a public compliment at this moment, that I really enjoyed the reading of this particular document with a very eloquent language, close to, as I know you, how you reflect and articulate on things. The book both describes and discusses different works in a very literary way. And it feels like the writing is not placing itself on top of or trying to theoreticize by trying to fit the examples, or in this case the pieces or the practices, into existing theories or discourse, but more that the theory or discourse that develops at certain moments are mainly coming out of these works and practices, which for me this is very interesting. It's articulating, putting very carefully into words, an account of a certain witnessing from a point of view of trained eyes, or maybe we should say trained body as a spectator, because I also agree with you that dance, which also came up in the seminar today, dance is not only a visual medium, also auditive and certainly kinesthetic. And as a comment to this, and something that formed a large part of my reading experience of the book, was that not only did you bring up the performances or the memories of these performances and what remains, but you also pointed at blind spots in my own memory and readings of some of these pieces. And I would even go so far as to say that you might even have influenced and changed the memory of certain pieces, and in some cases even giving like a novel reading, a new reading. And this can be either because the memory is too faint by now, or just like how a good dialogue discussion can do that, you bring up aspects of these works that open for new readings. If I think back of watching Alexander Barwood's piece, maybe it's not a choreographer that's familiar in the scene here, but it's one of the first chapters that you speak about. I also remember seeing this performance, and of course, I mean, even if I do remember actually surprisingly quite a lot from this performance, when I read your writing, it really touches upon blind spots in my experience, so not due to the memory or the passing of time, but the opening up to another way of appreciating the work that I was not able to do at that point. So this was, in my memory, is the end of the 90s, but can be that it's later. But so now, after reading, I can look back, I compare my memories to what my impressions now, and well, it's just bringing up different aspects that I was maybe more ignorant to. Then I just want to give one more example from, I'm really not sure how to say it, the title of Vera Montero's piece, Supporta. It's this kind of impossible, you will come across it in the book. It's a very long title, but you shorten it to something that I could read like Supportas, maybe. I guess that's also the point of the title. I saw this the premiere of this piece in Lisbon, and as my memory has it, I also saw it again in Kai Theatre in Brussels. And I have the feeling that I actually already changed my mind about performance some time ago and had by now forgotten about it. But in any case, reading what you write, for me it was, in this case, like I relive the moment of watching the performance, and I experience it very differently than me at that time. I remember not being so convinced about this piece at the time, and found later that I really loved it. And now it's like having a novel experience, different than before. So I'm not only brought to my own experience, but it's almost like I re-experience, and it's modified. So it's when reading, and this is for me partly also because of the language and what it's kind of evoking, and through description and through this physical spectatorship, I had the feeling of being thrown back in time to my seat in the theater, watching the piece. So as if I'm reliving the moment, I can see parts of the performance. I hear the voice of Paulo Castro. I feel the effects of the breathing inflatable walls. I see again the fighting over the chair, the silly bodies in the gray superhero costumes. So from your richness of observation of detail and the sensitivity to what is proposed and what is going on, transports me also now in the present time, and I have access to these blind spots or forgotten places in my memory or even my experience. And I can of course be critical to this for myself, what the writing can do. But right now, and while I was reading, I was enjoying this way of reliving some of these moments, accepting that memory is deceptive and unstable, and that the work can work within me over time, and that these traces and memories and impressions are still part of these works once witnessed, perhaps by a different me. So all of this is very much as the perspective of the spectator. So for me, through the back, or my reading of Through the Back now was like a travel through time, an interesting travel through time. The turning around, as you say, I feel like it was what this reading was making me do, turning around to the left, to the right, up or down, but nevertheless to the back in my own experience. And next to the pieces and works your writing has been able to bring back, or that through this writing I feel I become a spectator of these works again. For the works and pieces I did not or do not know, I also gain some access into it. So through the the language, it's evoking space as well as thoughts. So for me, to end with that, it's a full, rich document that somehow bridges a bit, maybe something between theory and practice, from the perspective of a spectator, and also from the maker, since you have been also in close dialogue with many of them. Yeah, I think that's what I wanted to share.
Yeah, thanks for the book as well, at first. I just thought I will speak about how I remember my relation to this book, and I tried to insert my reading experience. But first, I thought I just want to start with telling you how I first get to know about, maybe not even the book, but your approach. Actually, it was when Heine and I first met in Munich to talk about our collaboration in this project Distant Voices, which is now will now be shown in October Dance. And there he told me a bit about what they were interested in, what they wanted to do in the new project. And we were talking about a piece which you all also describe here, You Are Here, where they pass on little viewing boxes in which there are little miniature sceneries of or actually little stage models. So you describe this sequence of viewing boxes where there's where there are kind of models where little figurines carry like black boxes on their backs, or like a slow stop motion. You get one viewing box in one scene and then the other comes, and it's a bit kind of development, and in the end there is the whole box is filled with a black material, so the black box is actually materializing. And in this context, we were also starting to talk about this this question of visibility, invisibility in performance. And there he actually mentioned you and said, yeah, like Jérôme Peters says, the blind spot behind your back. And so that was actually the first time I got to know about your interest in this issue of the blind spot. And then I first found the book when I was visiting Heine and Yukiko in Brussels, that was lying there, and then I started to read. And it was nice because it kind of accompanied also a bit the working process of Distant Voices. And also it was like, that was also the reason why I thought I should get this book. Because when I started to look into it, I immediately found some familiar interests which we share, which are similar to what I'm interested in my research. Yeah, that it was a very nice combination to read about your, or to read your thoughts, and to read also the performances. In my case, it's like this, that I haven't seen, I think I only have actually seen one performance you describe, I must confess. But of course I have seen performances by many of the artists you write about, but really the specific performances, I think I have only seen Dolphin and Plischka's performances. So there is a big blind spot. But it was very nice because now I have actually memories of performances which I haven't seen, which I like very much. And as Meta already said, it's what I especially liked when I read the book was that it's a kind of document of not only of a kind of recent history of performing arts in a way, or of certain examples of performing arts, but also of your development of thought about these arts. And even though like we share certain similar interests, I found in your book a completely different style, which is sometimes actually, I would say, quite poetic in a way. I don't know if you agree, but I think actually it is. And maybe you're using very many references to literature. And this is, for me, it was an interesting point, because the relation of your references to these examples and also the relation to the performances is actually clear, but you dare to leave blind spots, I think, between those references to literature and the examples you refer to. As I said, it's quite clear what they have in common, but what I like very much is that you really leave it sometimes a bit open for the reader to establish a relation between those examples, even though they, as I said, have clear clear connections in thematics and in the issues they refer to. There's one thing I liked also very much, which I would call a method of maybe a subtractive speculation. And this I found several times in your book, that you thought about things by speculating about how would it be if we would have, for example, one sense less, if we had no language, if we could not see, if we could not hear, such speculations. And I was wondering if it's where you got this method from, or how you developed this method in a way. There's one thing I was wondering about, and this concerns your notion of medium specificity. You're writing several times about, or you're using this term several times, and in the beginning you're stating that your aim is actually to remain critical of the modernist notion of medium specificity. But then there are other points in your book where you actually where there's actually an open question how your relation to this term, or at least for me, it's staying an open question, and that's why I want to ask it here. What kind of, I think once you ask the question, how much medium specificity does dance need to be critical, or something like this? The question I have, what kind of note of medium specificity you have? And I have some other questions. Shall I first ask all the questions, or should we just...
Let's go one by one.
One by one.
Yeah.
So, thank you. To reply to your question about the method of subtractive speculation, that never occurred to me that it's in many places in the book. Though there is a book by the British philosopher Brian McGee. It's called Sight Unseen. It's a series of dialogues with Martin Milligan, a colleague philosopher who is actually blind. And in the introduction, he asked this question, what would it be like if we had one sense more or less? And we can have more technological senses, but he means also in a physical sense, if our body would be equipped, for instance, with an MRI scanner, what would that be like? And he says, okay, it's hard to fantasize about this, apart from science fiction, but perhaps by having a dialogue with a blind colleague, we might have an understanding of the difference of having one sense more or less. And they're very much talking about the five external senses, so not about technological senses or internal senses, such as proprioception, kinesthetic awareness, the vestibular system, etc. But that's where, very concretely, where this question came from. And it helped me at the time, indeed, to look at certain performances. I remember seeing at the time Closer of Deep Blue, so now Fieldworks. And it's played very much with this idea of dancers' bodies equipped with new senses that they speculate about choreographically. And that also invited me as a spectator to imagine my perception differently. So that's question one.
Question two. You are not only speaking about the dorsal figures in choreographies of the 90s and noughties, you are also referring to those dorsal choreography, which is much older, and also to for example, paintings of Caspar David Friedrich, and the figures we see there with their back turned to us. I was wondering if you would, from my point of view, I think there are different implications in those depictions and in contemporary dance or dance from the 90s and noughties. which presents dorsal choreographies or dorsal, or which shows us backs in a setting which is, yeah, what should we call it, performative turned or post-dramatic. So that's for me something different to a picture which is like, yeah, a traditional picture in a way, which where the dorsal figure actually kind of doubles the beholder. Or, so there, I would like to ask you how you see those differences and how you, because you draw or it was my impression that you mainly draw the, drawn the connections, but I would be interested in the differences.
Yeah. So the last chapter is called Through the Back, Fragments, Voices, and Materials for Choreographies to Come, and that's also maybe the most literary chapter, and by just exploring a single trope without being bothered too much with all the historical implications of saying, okay, Caspar David Friedrich is a painter from then and then, I found a certain freedom in exploring and imagining what I said before, this phantasmal archaeology of vision also that pulls together a variety of fragments, and there is also literary figures that are just juxtaposed to indeed philosophers talking, or there is a character from a Wim Wenders movie who gets like a lot of airplay in that chapter, and this blurring of literature and theory I found interesting to be a bit more speculative rather than spelling out all the historical implications, which I'm doing in other chapters. For me I was just curious how material can also speak for itself, which is for me as a dramaturg an important fiction in dance, that you don't say, okay, I'm pulling left and right quotes and references to support my argument, but say, okay, I'm just reading a page in Truman Capote here and this totally fascinates me and I think it speaks to me about issues I'm dealing with, so why don't I take it just on board like this?
It's a bit connected maybe to what you said in the seminar today, that it's looking at art by looking at art in a way and not by kind of as you said, babysitting the audience or
babysitting the reader
in this case.
Well, yes and no, but also theory can have a weight of its own without always being instrumental to an argument, and so to bring out the literary quality and just the weight of words here and there is for me a way to amplify also the idea that maybe a dance indeed can also have a weight of its own, or an experience of viewing can have a weight of its own and a right in itself. So that's very much the strategy behind that. But I still have to answer your second question about medium specificity.
Yeah.
It's a difficult one because it's a heavy term related to modernism also, and I don't want to approach it in an essentialist way. Yet there are several theories about dance that are related to movement or to the ontology of performance, and I think for me I relate closer to the writings of Gerhard Siegmund, for instance. He writes about the theater as a apparatus of attention, and within there about dance as the production of body images, and I would even say of imaginary bodies. So for me they not only double and multiplicate bodies on stage in the imagination of spectators and dancers, but also what I call emergent subjects of sense perception. So a dance performance also rewires in the moment our ways of viewing, so we're given the tools to see and hear and feel and imagine a particular performance. So this sensorial counterpart of the image is very important to me. And there might be, we can imagine dances without, or choreographies without actual bodies on stage.
That'd be my next question.
Yeah. But at least there are bodies invoked. There is an imagination of the body that comes with it. If you would think about the choreographic objects of William Forsythe, for instance, a spectator is actually walking around an installation. And it's also framed as a choreographic object, so we imagine a whole history around it. I'm not sure whether we could construct a situation where, for instance, a robot is visiting an installation, and whether we could still call it choreography. To me, that wouldn't make sense. That's what I mean with medium specificity. I'd like to talk about contemporary choreographies as they take place in the theater. And I also like to talk about film, but maybe on its own terms somehow. And I find it fruitful to limit a bit the scope rather than opening up all the time and calling every moving object in the world choreography, because then we're lost in swimming in the ocean.
But apropos plastic bag, what do you know this project? I guess you know by the theater, the plastic bag, where they sent, I don't know, some thousands of plastic bags with their logo to... Ah, Kang Harald is coming. When you... and they send it to theaters with the... And they tell them, use these plastic bags, it's a choreography. So keep maybe 500 for yourself and send 500 to another theater or give it away in a festival. And so everybody who carries this plastic bag and who, for example, puts a book in it or is part of the choreography. Would you say this is a choreography?
Choreography in the expanded field. Yes, I'm happy to say yes, but it me personally doesn't interest me. Any more questions?
Maybe I don't need a microphone, if you hear me well. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, I didn't read the book, and I'm wondering, I know you're writing your essays. For instance, is the essay on Théâtre et les Visions by Boris Chamatz included in the book, or is it reworked?
It is included and reworked, so that's a good question, because I've been writing this book over a long period of time, and I did not just collect the essays, but I did date all the chapters. So right. some of the texts still exist, also nearly as ready-made. So I did not alter the argument, for instance, of an older text to stay close to my understanding at the time. I even went so far as to look at the footnotes that I had at the time and to reread the books. So to revisit my younger self better, grappling with certain issues. And now, with a distance of sometimes 10 years, I had more ease to formulate and straighten out here and there the technicality of a certain argument. But the first essay on Alexander Bahut, which pays a lot of attention to description, I would never write about this today. And when Mette said, okay, the book changed her memories and her perceptions of certain performances. Maybe I have no idea what I would make of Alexander Bahut's work if I would see it today.
Does that mean that you're actually somehow defying this imperative of contemporaneity, because you're writing about the works that were made around 2000 or older, or let's say in a longer range? And what I think is quite interesting, hearing excerpts and knowing your writing style, how this is not contemporary today in relation to theory having to be transparent, offering tools to artists to explain themselves in some kind of order of self-referentiality. Well, what I think what you bring is, and I think that's quite interesting, and I'm wondering if it's some kind of deferred effect of Roland Barthes in writing about dance, that it's about some kind of soft écriture, which has a lot of literary imagination, in the times of a lack of conceptual imagination. Because I think that we have many concepts, but the concepts are actually marketing ideas. They don't have the opacity that the concept like body without organs had when Deleuze and Guattari snatched it from Artaud. So bringing in literature and fiction in that way might be something that is not contemporary at all, but because it's an anachronism, it becomes actually much more contemporary than this tyranny of transparent democratic dialogue of procedures and concepts as procedures. What do you think about this? Because I think this returning gaze and this kind of scopophilic or scopophiliac obsession with watching again, which is a kind of privilege we rarely have to review things, you know, review not in terms of write a critique, but go back again into this memory. An attention that returns and redescribes the pieces is something that we don't have time or money for today. And I find that this is quite interesting.
Well, thank you for this comment. Though vision and transparency are indeed the strong modern fictions that also sit at the background of visual studies, which is the main paradigm that I'm using also in looking at contemporary dance. Mm. But I'm a typical postmodernist fighting against transparency, and writers like Romain Barthes and Jean-François Lyotard are very important to me because they give also their concepts are embodied in language, and there's a certain opacity or materiality that comes indeed with the language. So I value that very highly as also a way of doing theory and embracing a conceptual imagination, as you say, because indeed we concepts. Yeah, they're just vehicles for developing thoughts and for reflection upon certain things. They're not a kind of truth that you apply to work. So this back and forth between an experience of viewing something in relation to a performance proposed and then literature or philosophy, that's the core of my method, actually, and I hope of my imagination. That's what I can offer as a writer.
This I think also in well what I was trying to share with you in that you feel this how to say like jumping between these different modes of looking at it, describing it, but you very much feel the place of the spectator and this comes really across also in the writing and how you the different examples that you use, but how things are discussed, how things are described, how you get an impression of your viewing experience, almost like I can imagine you in the theater as a spectator, but also through this then being able to provide for such a, like you say, like a revisiting of something, which is quite a special document in that sense. Mm-hmm.